Okay, we'll start Parshas Vayikra, Tashin Pei. Tonight's shir should be l'schus refuah shlema for all those who are sick and affected by the coronavirus, as well as l'schus alias neshama for Ezra's mother. I think it's Pesha or Pesha ben Bas David, but I'm not sure. When he joins, we'll get to go ahead and confirm the exact name if that's incorrect. And on a very happy note as well, my sister this past week got married amidst all the craziness and coronavirus going on, and in a very, very small, intimate, just immediate family, plus a few very close friends. Chasana, and a big mazel tov to her and her chasun, Chesky Weinberger. And they should just have good mazel, health, happiness, and shalom bayis for many years to come, and it should be a good life together. Okay, we're going to start with the Makaris, and if everybody who's not speaking can mute their computer or phone so that it... Ezra Hirschman just texted me. Pesha Bas David. We got it right. So it should be Lila Nishmas Pesha Bas David as well. So if everybody could mute their devices so that we can, that it's not disruptive, and if you have something to say or something to add or you want to speak, then speak up. But we'll start this year. So we'll start off Sinu Sefer Vayikra. We've been on a 1 or 2 week break also with everything going on. So we'll start fresh and we'll talk about the Parsha. Totally new topics tonight from the last Parshas that we've gone through in all of Shmos. But we'll start off with a short idea from Rav Biederman. Not really on the Parsha even, more about what happened, what today was. So we know it was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And Rav Biederman, in the first source, if you look on source number one, has a beautiful idea. He says in his Torah Wellsprings that the Shlach HaKadosh writes to describe the holiness, the Kedusha that the month of Nisan has. He says, we know the Pasuk says, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, that this month should be Rosh Chodesh. It should be that this month should be the Rosh Chodesh, should be the beginning of the year. And that's what Nisan is. Nisan is the first month in the Torah. The Shlach, though, had a different way of understanding the Pasuk. He said, it doesn't just mean this is going to be the first month of the year, but it means that every day of this month is a Rosh Chodesh. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, this month of Nisan is Rosh Chodashim. Every day is going to have the Kedusha and the specialness of a Rosh Chodesh. That every day of Nisan is like a Rosh Chodesh. And it's a very, we need to just try to understand the holiness of each and every day of this month. And if you look in the second column over here, so one of the many special features from the Beis Avraham, he writes, is that of Nisan specifically, is that one can merit a clear mind. We're all home. We're spending a lot of time. It can make us go crazy. Everything in the world can be making us go crazy. But it could also be a time to really focus on Hispoidadus right now, to try to cleanse ourselves, to try to clear our minds of temptations and free our thoughts of anything contrary to Emunah. And he says that if you look at the Pasuk also, Rama is there, the Beis Avraham says, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh, which could be translated as this month, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, is for your Rosh, is for your head. Which means that the month of Nisan is Mesugal, it's special, and to help somebody correct their head, to correct their thoughts, if they're filled with temptations of heresy, Rachman Otsan, or bad things. So this is the month where they can really tap into fixing that and to working on that. So just a nice idea from Rav Biederman. We'll start Rav Biederman and we'll close with Rav Biederman. Now's the time we need a lot of chizik, and there's no greater source for me, at least, I think, on the top list of chizik than Rav Biederman. So now scrolling down and going to the Parsha. So if we look at the Ramban, we'll start with a couple hakdamos into Sefer Vayikra. So the Ramban, in source number two, discusses the... we didn't really do an overview of the Parsha, which we always do. And we can. So before we get to the Ramban, actually, we'll talk quickly about the Parsha. We know the Parsha really deals with the beginning of discussion of Korbanos, and it's the third book in the Torah, Vayikra, right after Shmos ends with the building of the Mishkan and the Shechinah being Shaira, and talks about all the various, many of the various, not all of them, but many of the Korbanos, the Korban Oilo, the Mincha, the Korban, the Oimer, which we bring on the second day of Pesach, the Shlamim, the Chatas, the Korban Olav Yared, the Ash, and it concludes with the Korban Asham. So it goes through all the various Korbanos, which to us sometimes is very far and very hard for us to relate to, but we'll try to glean different ideas that are practical for our own lives, even in 2020 in Tashin Pei, that we can try to understand and implement from the Korbanos. So if we look at the Ramban, back to source number 2 in the Makaros in his Hakdama. So he says, HaSefer HaZeh, Hu Toras Kohanim VeHalavim. It's the Toras Kohanim. So the laws of the Kohanim and Avim. The Yevur Bo and Yonei HaKorbanos Kulan U'Bishmeres HaMishkan Ki Kasher Haya Sefer Echad Be'inyan HaGalus VeHaGa'ula Mimenu. Can everybody see them if it's zoomed in like this? Zoomed out like this? Yeah? Thumbs up? Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so once we finished up Sefer Shmos, right, and we finished with talking about the Gullus of Mitzrayim and the Gula from Mitzrayim, Veheshlima Be'inyan Ol Moed, Kavod Hashem Asher Maleis HaMishkan, and it finishes, it concludes with the whole purpose of the Geula of what? Of going to we got a Kavod HaTorah, then we had a Mishkan, and Hashem Shechina Sharadar, Tzivahu B'Korbanos, Uveshmiris HaMishkan, Sheyur Korbanos Kapar Lahen, V'Leigermu Havanos L'Solik HaShechina. So now the Torah is going to go ahead. After it told us about the Mishkan, the tabernacle, it's going to tell us about now, you know, the offerings that we're going to bring and how to go ahead and keep the Mishkan intact and what the korbanos are a kapara for Klal Yisrael and that it shouldn't cause us to have the Shekhinah be removed from ourselves. So it's going to show us, teach us how to stay connected to the Ribono Shel Olam, basically. V'tziva b'kohanim ha-nigoshim al Hashem she'izkatshu she'izri al tumas mikdash v'kotcho v'gam shelo yaharsu le'alos al Hashem k'mo sh'amar davi al anachicha v'al yav b'chol eis al ha-kodesh v'esla pareches al p'nei ha-kaporis asher al aron v'lo yamuz ki be'anan er al ha-kaporis k'azharis p'ni yaharsu al Hashem liros v'nofam emenu rav acher koch yagbil ha-mishkan k'agavos ha-sina be'es he'yos sham k'vod al k'Yisrael. Okay, it says a mouthful, a lot there, or a mouthful that I read, but he basically goes ahead and tells us that it tells us all about the Tumas HaMikdash and to warn us about the different Azharas, about not getting too close to the Mishkan, and you can't go in, even the Kohanim can't go into the Kodesh Kadashim, and it mimics Har Sinai in a certain way, he concludes with over there, by saying that the Mishkan is like their Gvulim, their boundaries by the Mishkan, just like there are Bar Sinai. Then he says the following, Vine Rov HaSefer, and this is the point I'd like to draw out. Vine Rov HaSefer HaZeh, Berkarbonos Betorah HaKorban VeHamakrivim, Uvamakum SheYizkarbo, right? The majority of Sefer Vayikra talks about Korbanos and the laws of bringing the Korbanos and where they're brought. V'Avo Bo Ktsas Mitzvos Negroesim Eile. And along with the Korbanos, there are other mitzvos that the Torah teaches us as well. So Vayikra teaches about Korbanos and then other things that are nigrar, that are drawn after the Korbanos. So here's an example. First, the Torah teaches us about the Korban Nadava, about a voluntary offering. But tangentially, the Torah then goes ahead and teaches us about the Isser of eating the forbidden fats and eating blood from any animal, right? Even though it's not talking about that, but since it's nigrar after that, it happens to be talking about the korban nadava anyway. So it throws in other halachos and other mitzvos as well. And then it talks about korban chatas later on. And what's tangential to that? What does Vayikra teach us as well that's related to korbanos indirectly? The ma'achalos asurim, Parsha Shmini, teaches us what foods one can eat. What animals one can eat, what you can't eat, right? So that's not korbanos directly, but it's nigrar achar korbanos. So the Ramban sets forth this idea that Sefer Vayikra is really about korbanos. That's the main topic. But don't just go ahead and think it's only about korbanos. Because when you're learning Torah, when you're learning something, you don't just focus on that one item that you're learning. You focus on the things related to that item as well. And if you look in source number 3 on the next page, so the Limud Nisan, Rav Nissen Alpert explains this idea in a very clear and beautiful way. He says, "V'limadnu haTorah al pi bir haRamban derech b'limud haTorah." The Ramban here is setting forth; he's teaching us a way of learning Torah. He's not just telling us a cute hakdama to say for Vayikra, but he's teaching us how one should learn Torah, the way, the path in which one should be focused on when learning Torah. Kishe Oisik Osik b'inyan echad nachon limud inyanim hatzrichim hanegra me oso inyan ohad sovim oso Hein ba'ofen yasher, hein ba'akifin. Says Rav Nissen Alpert, the Ramban is teaching us that when someone is learning Torah, they're supposed to learn what they're learning, but they should also be learning things that have to do with what they're learning on the side a little bit. Not directly connected to what they're learning, but something indirectly as well. And he says, the purpose of this is that by doing so, you'll be connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Beis HaMikdashu, Makom HaShechina, V'od Shekol HaTorah Kula Inyan Echad Hu. And he says the purpose is, Rav Nissen Alpert explains, is that because the Torah is really, it's one big Inyan, right? It's very hard for us to understand that. For me, I'll speak. It's very hard for me to understand that. I'm learning a sugya, I'm learning a halacha. It looks like an isolated kind of piece of Torah, and that it's not connected to the rest of the Torah. But Kol HaTorah Kula Miksha Achasi, it's really, the Torah is all interconnected. It's really one, as the Chafetz Chaim put in the Shem Olam, the Torah is really a picture of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And when you're able to put all the pieces together of that picture, then you understand the Ribbono Shel Olam in a much deeper way. And each piece of Torah is connected like a puzzle, like in a million piece puzzle to one another. And you have to figure out how to connect them. And that's what the Ramban's telling us, not just to go ahead and focus and think about korbanos that are there, but the Torah set forth this precedent, this principle that teaches us halachos that are nigger achar kabanos, like the iser of dam v'chelev, like the iser of ma'achalos asuros, and that is what Rav Nissen Alpert says as well. And he concludes down here, v'chein matzina b'talmud shemis galgam inyan l'inyan b'os inyan. Look at the Gemara. The Gemara talks about one topic, all of a sudden it's on a tangent talking about another topic for two dafim, and then it's going back to the original topic. And in my head, I have no idea what the question even was that we were trying to answer now, and who which Tana Amara is speaking, because it just keeps going from one topic to the next within topics. The idea is that a person should try to have a very wide breadth of Torah. In work, in careers today, that key word, the buzzword is you should specialize. You should have a specialty. Yeah, you should know a little bit about everything, but you know, focus on one area and that's how you'll be successful. But that's not what Rav Nissen Alpert is saying. That's not the Rabban's Derech. That's not what a person has to do. Yeah, if you have a certain area of Torah you like more, so you can learn that section more and get to know that section better. But you can't have that attitude towards Torah. Torah needs to be all-encompassing for the entire Torah. If you just Misha Isaac Rak Binyan Echad, says Rav Nissen Alpert back in the Makaras, Gaminyan Echad Ainlo. If he only focuses on one specialty, one area of Torah, then a different area of Torah he's not gonna have, he's gonna be lacking. So that's what Rav Nissen Alpert's drawing out from the Ramban. That we need to really think about this. And it's when we're learning Torah, we need to, if we're learning something and the Gemara quotes Tosfos quotes a different Tosfos or a halacha that quotes another din in Shulchan Aruch somewhere else. Pick up the Shulchan Aruch somewhere else and try to understand the connection between the two. What's the interrelationship? And we can learn that out from Korbanos, from the Ramban's Hakdama to Sefer Vayikra. Moving on to source number four, and Rabbeinu Bachai has a beautiful introduction as well to Sefer Vayikra. And Rabbeinu Bachai actually starts all of his introductions to the Chamisha Chumashi Torah with a pasuk from Mishlei. And so the pasuk he chooses for Vayikra is Ekev Anova Yiras Hashem Oishe V'Chavod V'Chayim. Very powerful pasuk, but that the root, or the beginning of Anova of humility of is Yiras Hashem, or the other way around, right? The root of Yiras Hashem is Anova Oishe V'Chavod V'Chayim, and also leads to wealth, to honor, and to life. And he goes ahead and he explains what these four ideas are and how they relate to Anava, Oisher, V'chavod Chaim, what they all are. He speaks about the importance of Anava and how Anava, being humble, a person who goes ahead and doesn't think have an ego. Not that he thinks he's nothing, but that he realizes that everything he has is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not Koichi V'oitzim Yadi Asali Asachai Laze, that he went ahead and he did it himself. That's not a humble person. A humble person is somebody who knows his worth. Moshe Rabbeinu is a steerer, right? How is he the greatest gadol and greatest leader? And at the same time, the Torah testifies that he was anav mod. He was extremely humble. How could he be the greatest leader if he was so humble? And the answer is because the closer he got to the Ribbono Shel Olam, he realized everything is from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And when he realizes everything is from the Ribbono Shel Olam, then that's extreme humility. It's not him. It's not his own type of his kochos that he has himself, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him everything. And therefore, he can actually get to another madriga in closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you look at, if you go through it, he talks about this, the concept of anava, and he really, at the end, focuses on the first pasuk of Vayikra Moshe over here. Not sure why it's highlighting the whole section, but it says Vayikra Moshe Lashon Kriyaho Lashon Kavod Lashon Shemal Chai Sharis Misham Shembo. Right? That's a Rashi quotes as well from Chazal, that the Lashon of Hashem calling to Moshe is a Lashon of Kriya, of calling out, and the Lashon of Kara is what the Malachim used to call one another. That Moshe didn't just enter into the Omal, didn't just enter into speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he felt it was time and I want to go speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He waited to be called. He waited to be addressed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu first, which shows the great humility of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is the first pasuk in our parsha, Vayikra Shema Moshe. And that's it's a beautiful idea of Rabbeinu B'chaye, and it's something we should all think about, the humility, the Moshe Rabbeinu, that we learn from the first pasuk when Hashem discusses the karbanos with him, that Hashem approached him. He didn't just out of nowhere go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you look in the source number 5, so the Chasam Sofer, Toras Moshe, he goes ahead, and I didn't quote the various ideas of Korbanos, we could mention them outside, but he does a nice summary. So the Rambam, there's a huge machlokus Rishonim as to what the purpose of Korbanos are. For us, somebody asks, a random Orthodox Jew nowadays, what in the world is a Korban about? And he'd be like, I have no idea. Why would you take an animal and have to follow all these procedures of shechting it and killing it and having the blood spill and throwing the blood and all these different things? It's very hard to understand. But the Rambam, if you look, he summarizes it pretty well, even though in the Mor Nevuchim it's a little more complicated. He writes, though, quotes the Rambam, the Chasam Sofer in source number 5, Kasa v'tama korbano shehu hisnagdus lo'ovdei avodah zara ulehafish ha'adam midarkam. Right, that basically it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us korbanos as a means to fight to show that we're not ovdei avodah zara, to go against ovdei avodah zara. But it was also speaking to people at the time, and people at the time were sacrificing animals. And so that's what the Rambam Mor Nevuchim goes ahead, and it's a long piece, but that's what he discusses. It's really hisnagdus lo'ovdei avodah zara. And the Rambam, though, in the Mishneh Torah, in one place, quotes, and maybe more than one place, quotes, calls it a chok, which is something, a laws. Korbanos are laws that we don't have a reason for. We don't understand the reason for it. Then he quotes, I think it's Rabbeinu Chananel. Someone correct me if I'm wrong, but Reish Ches, I didn't find it inside. But he says that the reason for korbanos is in order that a person should do tshuva, right? That's what we're doing. We're trying to get kapara, trying to get forgiveness, atonement for a sin. Shehu haya roi lihipashe v'nituach v'srefas esh l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that really a person deserves to be punished. V'lakach HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'racha v'hema t'raso, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the animal in place of the human and offers it up instead. So it's really that the animal, the korbanos, is taking the place of a person who did some action that was a wrongdoing. And the Ramban, in the third opinion quoted by the Chasam Sofer over here, says, Shehu soid meisodos HaTorah. You want to know what it's all about? It's a side. It's a secret. It's one of the deepest secrets in the Torah. We have no idea. We don't know what it is. The Rabban says different ideas, but this is really ultimately what he concludes. But I'll tell you what the Ramban says. I'll tell you something, though. The psukim, as we'll see, say it over and over and over, that the korban is a reach nichoach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a very pleasing experience for the Ribono Shel Olam. How? Why? What? It's a side. It's a secret. It's something we don't understand, something the human being can't comprehend. It's too deep for us to comprehend. But it's something the Ribono Shel Olam loves and appreciates. So that's the Taras Moshe. And if we look in the Sefer HaChinuch, he gives a beautiful idea as well. And we'll just say it outside. Maybe we'll look at the keywords inside. He says that really the difference between a human and an animal that's being offered is really only one thing. And that is the seichel, the brain of a person. Other than our brain, we're basically animals, right? We have bodies, and animals have bodies, and then we have our brain, and animals don't have the intellect that we have. So our intellect is what differentiates us from the animals. And he says that at the time that we go ahead and bring a korban, yeshal adash shenichnas be'esahi begeder abehemos. So when a person sinned, they went ahead, they weren't using their brain, right? We were acting like an animal. Achar shelo yachlokom rakulavado. Yalkin it's double kachas guf besar kagufo. So therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, you know what? Take a guf just like your body, because an animal and your body without your seichel are the same. So take an animal in place of your body. And you should go ahead and offer it on the base on at the Makom HaNivchar, the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, as an aliyah for the seichel, and you should burn it there, and then you should it's like you forget about it, you move on, you go past it. But he makes this connection between a person's body and the animal's body, and that the only difference between them is the seichel, and that's why we're offered. Okay, now moving on to the actual parsha from the Hakdama. So here's the entire Perek Aleph, and we'll go back to it as we need to. So the first pasuk says, "Vayikra Moshe, Vaydaber Hashem Elo Me'ol Moed Lema." Right, that Hashem called to Moshe, and Hashem spoke to him, from the Olam Moed, and he said the following. So if you look at Rashi and Vayikra Moshe says the following: L'chol dibros, l'chol amiros, l'chol tzivuim kadma kriya, lashon chiba. For all the dibros and all the amiros, every time HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicates with Moshe Rabbeinu, it says kriya, lashon chiba, and kriya is a lashon of chiba. Kriya is a lashon of endearment, of love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing Moshe by using the lashon of kriya. Lashon Shemalachei Asharis Mishtam Shembo. It's the Lashon the Malachim, the Helag of Malachim use. Shenema Vekara Ze El Ze. As we know, the Pasuk in Ishiyahu, we say it in Kedusha, it says Vekara, Kufrei Shalif, the same Lashon, the same Sharish, Ze El Ze. They called one to the other. And so that's why Moshe, that's why Hashem used such beautiful language to speak to Moshe, to open up to him. Says the Ish Kodesh in source number 9, the Pizetz and the Rebbe. He has Sakashi. It says, "Vayikra Moshe perish Rashi l'chol dibros kadma kri loshen chiba loshen shemalacha." Quotes Rashi, find that this is a beautiful loshen that the malachim use to one another. Tzarich ladas lama mafarish Rashi zos bekriya zu v'lo b'sne shenemar vayikra ela velokim. Why specifically here in Sefer Vayikra pasuk Aleph, when Hashem says Vayikra, well, the pasuk says Vayikra Moshe, does Rashi bring this idea down? That lashon, this is a lashon chiba, but not elsewhere, where Hashem does use, the Torah uses the lashon of vayikra to speak to Moshe, like by the sne. It says it by the sne. Lama mefarish Rashi zos bekriya zu v'lo b'sne shenema vayikra elav elokim. It says it by the sne. V'chein kabbalas haTorah shekasa vayikra Hashem l'Moshe. By kabbalas haTorah itself, it says that Hashem called to Moshe. So why doesn't Rashi say over there that this is that the lashon of kara is a lashon chiba? And the way the malachim relate to one another, but he waits to save that point to make it and quote that idea from Chazal, bedafka over here in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra. So Piazetz the Rebbe explains as follows. He says that by the Akedah it says Vayikach Esayav Eileil Ola Tachas Beno Vechinhu Bechol Karbonos Adam Kiyakri Mekem VeKarbonos Abemos Bain Tachas Haish. So he brings down this idea and he explains that Sefer Vayikra, one might think, right, somebody's bringing a korban, so they did possibly something wrong, right? And they're asking for kapara from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't, you know, happy with that. He's upset with them. He's angry at them. But he explains that really, kol yisur yisrael mine korbanos heim, all the yisurim of Bnei Yisrael are korbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And keep in mind, if Pizetz the Rebbe wrote this in the time of the Holocaust, Lachin me rames beze Rashi shebechol in yoni karbonos afilu ba'elu she'adam kiyakri mekem. That Rashi says that all the karbonos, even the ones that you bring from yourselves, every single karbon, the davas, all of them, haynu karbonos hayisurim shemin atzmosa of makriv, you're bringing them from yourselves to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nada shegamkin kriya shechiba shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu heima. One should know that even this, you might think, isn't something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves, because it's all about korban, it's all about bringing something. No. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves this too. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at Har Sinai, it's not hard to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chiba towards Moshe. He's giving us the Torah. At the Sneh, when he's revealing himself to Moshe Rabbeinu and telling him he's going to be the Goyal and take Klai Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, it's not difficult for one to understand that there's a chiba there. But here, by the korbanos, one might think not so much. But says the Piazetz the Rebbe, that's exactly what Rashi tells us in the beginning of the Sefer that this is all chiba between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe, all the halachas of the Karbanos. So moving on to source number 10. So the Pasuk in source number 10 tells us as follows. It's Perek Aleph, Pasuk Gimel. Im ole korbono min habakar zachar tamim yakriveno pesach o amoed yakriv oso lertzono lefnei Hashem. That if you bring a korban ola from the bakar, from the cattle, should be a zachar tamim, should be a male, a tzol, brought to the pesach o amoed yakriv oso lertzono. The underlined words there, lefnei Hashem, that it should be brought, you should bring it and want to bring it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what's the issue with these three words here? Yakriv oso lirtzono. What does that mean exactly? Yakriv oso lirtzono. So Rashi quotes and picks up on it. It seems yakriv oso means that he has to bring it. Lirtzono means that he has to want to bring it. Not that he's forced to. Yakriv oso seems to imply that he's required to bring it. He's forced to bring it. But lirtzono, the next word, lirtzono, he has to have a rotzono, a desire and a wanting to bring it as well. So which one is it? Is he required to bring it? Or could it be that he has to want to bring it? Says Rashi in source number 11, Yakriv oso, if anyone doesn't mind muting, whoever's unmuted would be great. Thank you. So Yakriv oso milamet shekofin oso yachol ba kocho tamulomar lertzono. Right? So Yakriv oso, it teaches us that you force a person to bring a korban even against his will. Therefore it says lertzono. Therefore the pasuk says with his will, that he has the desire to do it. Haketzad, what does that mean? Kofin oso achiyom rotzani. That even if a person doesn't want to bring a korban ola, but he has to, so you go ahead and you force him to do it until he says, I want to do it. Which is a similar lashon, very similar to what we find by Gerishin, when a person, it has to be beratzon, and in the Rambam, he quotes, similar idea. But that is what Rashi quotes. Yes, I see a hand raised. Is there anyone who has any questions out there? Okay, no questions. But that's Rashi. So we have to understand the stira that Yakriv oso, he has to bring it, but it also has to be lertzono, that he wants to bring it. Says the Chasam Sofer, a beautiful idea. Another Chasam Sofer. Tonight's going to be filled with a few Chasam Sofers. Says the Chasam Sofer in Taras Moshe in source number 12. So the first four lines quote the Rashi and the stira. The Yeshloma Hakrav Stira Hadikdukim Kach Hine. So he says as follows. He says it's a stira. Is it that he has to bring it or he wants to bring it? So he explains as follows. Hine hadar bikvar. Imagine the situation. You have a person who lives out far away from Yerushalayim in a village. The osik tamid rak begashmius. And this person is only involved all the time in gashmius, in materialistic activities, in making a living. The humurgal umutbabo kokach acheze kochoshko umagamaso. And he's so involved with his gashmius that that's all he desires in life. That's all he wants. That's all he's focused on. And if you tell this kind of person, go ahead and learn some Torah, he's going to think it's foreign. You're strange. It's strange to him. But Torah va'avoda. Afilu rak sha achas, rak omdim, afilu sha rak achas. In the Kfarim, people were so just trying to make a living, being fishermen, being farmers, whatever they were doing, that they didn't learn. They didn't have a connection to the Ribbono Shalom. They didn't have Ruchnius in their lives. They just were so day in and day out running, just running the mills and trying to make a living and support themselves and living each day and having it go by, and their lives are going by, and they didn't see people learning Torah. They didn't know what that was. Says the Chasam Sofer, they were just working all day. They were working all day and night. They have a rotzon for Torah. Okay, so here's the Chasam Sefer. He says, now if this, so that's the person in the kfar, right? A person in a kfar outside of Yerushalayim has to bring a korban. This guy isn't connected to Torah. He doesn't even know what really Torah is. He doesn't know much about Torah. But he travels, he walks to Yerushalayim, he takes the walk. Im bo yavo Yerushalayim, ir hakodesh, ir gdola lelokim klilas yoifi, mesois kolaretz, rabasi bagoye, marbisa'om, the hona, bavona, vaoshram, gdulasam asher, tmua yisma al kolze al gdula sa'ir. Right? Person's gonna get to Yerushalayim and he's gonna look at what's going on in Yerushalayim, the holiness of the city, the holiness of the people, and say, what is going on here? Vanashim chori eretz v'shriya b'gdulasam afilu shemen minay v'lo ra b'kvar asher darbo. Something he never saw before in the village. He's going to see people in their greatness, in their amazing holiness, and in their the way they're living, and he's going to go ahead and be wowed and amazed by it all. And he's going to be uplifted. U'cha'olam chadash hakol lefanav. Everything is new to him. Everything is just Torah and Avoda in Yerushalayim. Kol magamasam v'hem yischabdam ve'im hoylech ma'ala ma'ala bekodesh v'nei Hashem lo'omoed u'mishkan v'roe sham ha'kohanim sh'asi Hashem. And then he even gets closer. He's going to see the Kohanim doing the Avoda, which is even going to be more uplifting to him to see how holy their Avoda is and how holy they are. And he's going to go ahead and just be so inspired by seeing everything around him that his heart now is just going to want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, just for time, we'll explain it outside. What's the Chasam Sofer saying? He's saying it's not a stira. That at first, when a person goes ahead and brings a korban, so he's sometimes it might have to be Yakivoso. He might have to go ahead and be forced to bring it because he doesn't really want to bring it. He doesn't know what it's all about. He doesn't want to schlep to Yerushalayim. No one else is doing this. It's not something that's, you know, so cool or in. So he's not going to do it. But then when he gets to Yerushalayim and he sees the Kedusha, he sees people learning, he sees people in Avodas Hashem, then it's going to be Lertzono. Then he's going to want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's not going to want to leave. He's going to want to stay there. And what do we learn from the Chasam Sofer? We learn the importance of a person's environment. The environment has a tremendous impact and effect on a person to the point where a person can be in a village, this is the Chasam Sofer saying, and I think he means it literally, and not know what Torah is his whole life, and be totally, you know, not excited about something, but then get to Yerushalayim and become so excited, so inspired, have such a ratzon to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's going to want to just stay there and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu all day and all night. And it's a beautiful Chasam Sofer that teaches that idea, and it reminds me of the Gemara. The Gemara of the Baba Basra tells us in Daf Kaf Aleph Amud Aleph that Yehoshua ben Gamla saved Torah. Yehoshua ben Gamla tells a story. It says that they didn't know what to do really with teaching children Torah. So there's a Hava Mina in the Gemara that says as follows. Baram Zachar Oysa Ha'ish Latov Yehoshua ben Gamla Shemu. Remember Yehoshua ben Gamla for the good. Remember him for the good. And that was his name because of what he did, right? Shilmalei Hu. If not for Yehoshua ben Gamla, Nishtakach Term Yisrael, Torah would be forgotten. Shebetchila Mishiyesh Lo Av Melamdo Torah. Because at first, what was the system before they had a Hank and before they had a Yeshiva Katana and before they had a Beis Yaakov and before they had a Sal Shore? So what was the system? Mishiyesh Lo Av Melamdo Torah. When a person had a father, so his father taught him Torah. Mishiyen Lo Av Lo Hayalama Torah. But if a person didn't have a father, he didn't learn Torah. My drash, so what would you do if you didn't have a father? You wouldn't learn anything. My drush. So what's this? A drush? V'limadatem oisam. Pasuk and Shema says v'limadatem oisam. V'limadatem atem. That you should teach them Torah. Meaning the father should teach Torah to their sons. So hiskinu shiyamoshvin milamdi tinokos b'Yerushalayim. So they realize this isn't going to work because the kids who don't have fathers, unfortunately, they're not going to be able to learn Torah. What are they going to do? They're not going to know anything. So they made a decision that they are misaki moshvin milamdi tinokos b'Yerushalayim to make schools, yeshivas, for children in Yerushalayim. And the Gemara quotes a drush about that. And then it says, what about outside Yerushalayim? It says, again, what about people who didn't have a father? He wouldn't go and bring him to learn. And then it says, ultimately, Yehoshua ben Gamla instituted that they should make Medina, they should make yeshivas, and they made yeshivas everywhere, and bring children, sons who are 6 or 7 years old, to learn Torah. So he came up with the idea of yeshiva. Tosfos is bothered. What's the havamin of the Gemara? To just make yeshivas in Yerushalayim? What about everywhere else? Says Tosfos, the havamin is as follows. L'fi shehaya roa kedusha gadola v'kohanim oskim ba'avoda haya mechavim libo yosir liyar shamayim v'lilmol Torah. Because in Yerushalayim, you would see the Kedusha Gedola and the Kohanim that were doing the Avoda of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you would have a desire, your heart would turn and want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu more, and you'd be more focused on Yir Shemayim to learn Torah. And that is what the Hava meaning of the Gemara is, that perhaps outside of Yerushalayim, maybe what Tosfos is saying is that people just wouldn't be focused on Torah. They wouldn't care, even if you set up a yeshiva. That was the Havamina. The Maskona is no. They say you see yeshivas up everywhere. But the Havamina is the Kedusha, the inspiration of a certain place, the impact it can have on somebody is so important. It's just a huge lesson for us. Baruch Hashem, we're part of an amazing community, Beprat and Michal, a part of, if you're in West Hempstead, if you're somewhere else, I'm sure there's a beautiful Jewish community there too. But we're part of a Klal Yisrael, we're part of, specifically, a person needs to have a shul, they need to have a base medrash, they need to have Torah and Rabbonim and friends and Dibu Chaverim that they're connected to, so that they can be inspired based upon these ideas from the Chasam Sofer and this Tosos and the Gemara and Bava Basra. So moving on to source number 15. So source number 15 tells us, right, that the korbanos were reyach nichoach la'Hashem. And we'll start doing a couple sources outside just for time, so we don't go too much over, even though there's no Ma'ariv coming up in a little bit, on the clock at least. But still try to be respectful of everyone's time. So Pasuk says, right, we said this earlier, that the Ramban says that the korbanos are sowed, but they're a reyach nichoach la'Hashem. The Ksav HaKabbalah in source number 16 has a beautiful idea what this means. Ole ishe reyach nichoach. Heitev amar bezeh b'sefer maaseh Hashem. He quotes the sefer maaseh Hashem. What is it, this reyach nichoach la'Hashem, this pleasing aroma to the Ribono Shel Olam? Lo l'saper ma'alos ha'karbonos ba. Says the Ksav HaKabbalah, it's not what most people think, that it's coming to tell us the special aspect of the korbanos, of how good they smelled. Ki maisa ha'ish umach shevoisav. Rather, what's the reyach nichoach ta'kadosh baruch hu? It's a person's thoughts and their actions. Ki ha'mevi korban lo yachshov shekorbano levad nischap ravono. A person shouldn't think, okay, I'm bringing a korban, good, I'm going to have kapara, Hashem's going to forgive me, I don't need to worry about it anymore, whatever I did, it's over. That's not how it works. It's not like I'm giving a korban and it's a deal, Hashem, I'll shake hands on it, let's not trade sides, you know, or trade deal terms. The deal is, I give you a korban, you forgive me for my sin. He says, aval, the point of the korban is, yale bedato shekorbano enokim reach nichoach el mashehu asid lasos. The reach nichoach is about what a person in the future now is going to do. A person messed up, that's okay. The Ribono Shel Olam understands that. He knows we make mistakes. He knows sometimes we sin. But what the Reach Nichoach is now we're bringing our korban and we're doing tshuva, we're committing ourselves, we're asking for kapara and going to amend our ways, we're going to fix ourselves. We're not going to do that avera again. We're going to try our best to not commit that sin again. And that's the Reach Nichoach Tashem. It's not the sweet aroma, according to Ksav HaKabbalah, of the animal itself, but it's the attitude, the thoughts of a person, that the person is not going to repeat the same mistake that they did prior, that the Ribono Shel Olam loves and wants. And it's a beautiful idea from the Ksav HaKabbalah. And that's exactly what the Gemara in source number 17, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Vav Amud Beis, tells us, that the Ribono Shel Olam, famous phrase, Rachman Ali Abai, Ribono Shel Olam just wants our hearts, he just wants our ruts, and he wants us to try our best, he wants us to be thinking and doing the right thing. And that's really what the Ribono Shel Olam is focused on. So if we look in source number 18, the Pasuk over here is talking about the, it's Pasuk Yid Zayin. It's talking about the Korban Mincha, I think, at the end of the first perek. It says at the end, right, that it's an Olahu Ishe Reach Nichoach La'Hashem. And if you look back in Perek Aleph, Reach Nichoach La'Hashem is mentioned many times, right? It's mentioned over here, Olah Ishe Reach Nichoach La'Hashem. Over here, Olahu Ishe Reach And it's by different korbanos, by the behema and the tzon, by the oaf, by the mincha, by the different types of korbanos. It's a reach nichoach la'Hashem. So says Rashi. Rashi says velo yavdil on this pasuk that there's no difference. Einu mefarku l'gamrei shtei chatichos ela korban migabo nemar ba'of reach nichoach by a bird. Pasuk says it's pleasing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'nemar b'behema reach nichoach. And by a more expensive korban, namely an actual animal, not just a bird, it also says reach nichoach. To teach us that regardless of whether you bring a lot or a little, as long as you're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you have intent to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and cares about. And that's the Shulchan Aruch, if you look in source number 20, that it's better to daven less with Kavana than more without Kavana. Not to say, I'm not going to daven a lot, but for a person to say less and understand what they're saying and have Kavana, it's better than to just ramble words and not have a clue what you're saying. And we'll skip the Berachas Peretz for now. But on this idea, it's really just a beautiful idea of the Reach Nichoach, that there's no Havdalah, there's no difference between whether it was an expensive korban, a medium cost korban, or a cheap korban. It was all Reach Nichoach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Echad Amarbe VeEchad Hamamit. All HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about is that you, who you are, what you're able to afford, you're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the key point there. We'll just conclude with, we'll say them outside, and then we'll have the last piece from Reb Biederman. So the next source in 22 says, Pasuk says, V'neshev ki sakiv, that the nefesh, the soul, it goes ahead and offers a korban. Rashi says, "Lo namar nefesh korbanos nedava elav mincha." The only time by the different korbanos nedava, it says that the nefesh will bring it and offer it is by the korban mincha, which was the korban made of the flour. Mi darko lis navi mincha. Who brought this korban mincha? Ani, a poor person. Amar kadosh baruch hu, malani ani olav ki ilu hikriv nafsho. I'm going to treat the poor person as if he brought himself, that he sacrificed himself. So why doesn't it say v'nefesh ki sakriv by the other korban nedava, by the oaf or by the behema? Especially since the Chasim Sofer in source number 8 points out that really the hafla, he asks that the yona is cheaper than the korban mincha. So if the oaf is cheaper than the korban mincha, why doesn't it say v'nefesh ki sakriv? The whole premise is predicated based upon the fact that it's because an ani is bringing it. So says the Chasim Sofer in 24, a beautiful idea. He explains that really, yeah, an oaf is cheaper than the korban oaf, is cheaper than the korban mincha. But the korban mincha was brought by an ani from what he had in his kitchen, mamish. The flour he had in his home, from the leket, shichacha, and peah that he had to eat. He sacrificed and brought that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he took something, the Mesiras Nefesh, to take something that he has of himself, which he's supposed to eat and it's supposed to be his, and to then dedicate it and go ahead and offer it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu went ahead, and that's when he says, V'nefesh ki sakriv. Even though an oaf can be cheaper than a mincha. And the Panim Yafus has a different idea in source number 25. We'll skip it for now. We'll just get to the source number 26 and wrap up with this. So Reb Biederman has beautiful ideas. This is taken from previous years on Parshas Vayikra. And we'll just read through it, and then we'll conclude. But I think it's very important ideas, especially for what the world's going through right now, some chizik for us, especially the last idea. So he says, Hashem's call. The first word of the Parsha is Vayikra. And we know the Aleph of Vayikra is small. And the Yismach Yisrael teaches that this is hinting to us that even the small and seemingly insignificant matters in life are a Vayikra, are Hashem's callings. That nothing in life happens by chance, not even the smallest details. And he says that the letter Aleph is comprised of three letters, right? There's a Yud on top, and then a Yud on top, and then a Vav to connect the Yud below and the Yud on top. And he says that the Yud above, the Baal Tanya says that the Yud above alludes to Hashem, the Yud below is this world, and the Vav connects the two. And it indicates that everything that happens below in this world is really coming from above, is really coming from the Ribono Shel Olam. And it's an important lesson that the Vayikra is always, everything in life is a calling from the Ribono Shel Olam. And Reb Biederman will conclude with this right here. We know, Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimloch Lo'olam Vod, that Hashem is king, Hashem was king, and Hashem will be king forever. And the order of this phrase is the present, past, and then future. But he says, wouldn't it make sense to put it in a different order? Instead to say past, present, and future, right? That it should say Hashem Malach, Hashem Melech, and Hashem Yimloch. Why is present first before past? So he explains as follows. It's very easy when a person looks back on events in life to go ahead and say, yeah, Hashem Hashem Malach. Hashem was the king. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch was in charge. It was Basharta. It was meant to be. Yeah, I see the good that came out of it. It makes sense. I understand. It's all good. Ribbono Shalom, I believe in you. I have emunah and bitachon. It's easier for a person to do that sometimes because it's over. The situation happened already. So what am I going to do? Complain and kvetch and say, Ribbono Shalom, you know, why'd you do this? Why'd you do that? This is, whatever it is has passed. It's over. And there's nothing for me to... So it's easy. It's much easier to see Yad Hashem. And the future, that's even easier. It hasn't happened yet. I believe HaKadosh Baruch is in charge of the future. I have emunah and bitachon that the Ribbono Shalom is going to rule over the future and rule over every second from now, from the second after now until eternity. Okay, it hasn't happened yet. So for a person to go ahead and say that, it's not such a great miler in a person. They're a mammon, but like, what are they being a mammon on? But to be a Hashem Melech, to be able to declare that Hashem now is king, that's not easy. That's not easy. The most challenging, though, he concludes, is to recognize that Hashem is king now, and that everything that's happening to you at this very moment is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And with all the uncertainty going on in the world, from people's health to people's parnasa to so many challenges and problems we have going on, the one thing we know is Hashem Melech, that the Ribbono Shel Olam, he is the king now. There's nothing that's uncertain about that. The one certainty we have through all the turmoil and all the chaos and all the craziness and all the tsar that the world and Klal Yisrael is going through right now, the one thing we know for sure is Hashem Melech, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is our king presently, and that's for sure, he's certain, and he's in charge, and that's what we need to hold on to during this time. Hashkoyach everyone on calling in and dialing in and listening. Everyone should have a wonderful and beautiful Shabbos. Ezra, you have a question?
No, I just wanted to make a comment that I'm here.
Oh, hi Ezra. It's great to see you. Great to see you. Shkoyach, your mother's neshama should have a big aliyah.
Amen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have a good Shabbos, everyone. Bye-bye.
Person soon.
What?
I said, may be in person soon.
Amen. Mirtz Hashem. Hi, Jody.
Hello. I love you. It was a
oh,
great
thank
year.
You. Thank
I'm
you,
making challah.
Oh, wow, wow. Ezra, that's my sister. She's making challah.
Very nice. Can I taste it?
Hello.
Hi.
How's it going, Kaim? It was such a nice year.
Thank you. Thank you, Jody.
Thank you.
All right, Ezra, yeah. Jody, Chesky. Oh, okay. Have a good night, Ezra.
Yeah.
Chesky, turn your video on.
Where's Chesky?
Chesky doesn't know how. Hold on, I'll take you to him. Hold on.
It's just us three, just to make sure no one's eavesdropping.
Hold on, I'm taking you to him. He's on the couch.
How's he feeling?
He's recovering.